Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith.
When you become part of a serving church, you find yourself giving not only of your time, but also of yourself. Deep bonds are forged as we strengthen each other in times of need. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a six-part series on what happens when God comes to church, taken from 1 Thessalonians. Let's turn now to chapter 2 and hear more about a serving church.
Some of you are discouraged because you've chosen to pray with Christ for 1 hour every week of this year, and you've done it a couple of times and you've noticed no difference. And you say to yourself, well, you see, God doesn't answer prayer, but God is working and God will answer, even if he doesn't answer it the way in which you think he should and as quickly as you think he should. So God is there. So I have to ask you today. See, when God comes to church, he house cleans our hearts. The motives are changed. It isn't what people will think of me. Now it's what God thinks of me. It isn't for greed. It isn't for manipulation so that you can get ahead. It has everything to do with this simple question, is God pleased? No wonder Paul continues on and says, you know, we were like a gentle among you, like a nursing mother, verse 7, taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also ourselves, because you had become very dear to us. You begin to live this way with a God-directed motivation, and you find that you don't just give people your time, you give people yourself. Only God can do that, and that's what happens when he shows up. How does a nursing mother do it? Does she say, well, you know, I'm on duty 9 to 5. This kid cries in the middle of the night. I'm sorry. Wait until morning. Wait until 9 o'clock till I get to work. No. Why? She is imparting not just her time, not just her ability, but she gives herself to the children, as my wife did as our children were growing up. Paul says that's the way ministry should be. That's what should be happening at the Moody Church, people giving themselves to others without a time agenda. Oh, I know we can't do it all, but with such a sense of devotion and commitment to one another that we give not just our time, but we give ourselves. I have a pastor who was preaching on this who had a lot more nerve than I do, but in the middle of the sermon, he asked an usher, and the idea just came to him, to bring an offering plate. And so he put the offering plate on the platform and he stood in it. That's what we give to God when God comes to church. We give ourselves. Paul says that's the motivation of servanthood. Second notice quickly, the sacrifice. Paul says in verse 9 and following, for you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We work night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. Paul says, I continue to work on tents. That's where the idea of tent making comes in. So that we never even talked about money. So nobody would say, Paul's in it for the buck. Remember, he lived at a time when there were professional orators who used to come and give speeches, but they always in advance would say how much money they needed for their speech. Paul says, I want to stay away from that. And you know, of course, that the ministry has often been disgraced because people are in it for the money. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, you get paid from the church. The staff gets paid from the church. Paul is not giving here a universal principle. In fact, later on, he says that those who teach the word and preach the word have a right to be taken care of. But what Paul is telling all of us very strongly is this, that when we do ministry, the motivation is not the motivation of money. And shame on any person who has that motivation. You receive the money in order that you might serve, but you don't serve with a view to ask the question, how much do I get? You don't go into the ministry because you say, well, this is going to make more money than some other vocation. And by the way, seldom does it make much money, more money than other vocations. You remember the elders in a little church that prayed, oh God, we promise that if you keep him humble, we promise to keep him poor. You know, that's the agreement. The other day I said to the staff with a smile on my face, I was admonishing them regarding something about the need to do something. And then I said, remember this, we here on the staff, we are paid to be good. You know, we're paid to be good. We have an expectation. I said, all of the people at Moody Church who volunteer, they're good for nothing. Yeah, you're good for nothing. Paul says we have to be willing to make financial sacrifice in ministry. If our ministry does not in any way affect our checkbook, if it does not affect the way in which we give, if it does not affect our motivation, we are not Christ-like in our service. God has not yet come to church as long as we're hung up on all these things. So Paul says, I made that, the sacrifice of that, the sacrifice of devotion. He says, we were holy and righteous and blameless before you. And I say this to the pastoral staff and all the leadership at Moody Church, that we who are in leadership should be more holy, more righteous, and more blameless than we even expect our congregation to be. That's a note of conviction for all of us. So Paul says here, he says, there's a sacrifice to servanthood. And then he says, what is the goal? The goal here is in verses 11 and 12. For you know how like a father with his children, we exhorted each of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God. What's it all about? What are we trying to do with our teenagers? What are we trying to do with our leadership? What are we doing in our adult Bible fellowships? What are we trying to accomplish? At the end of the day, what we want is character, people who walk worthy of God in keeping with the dignity of belonging to God. When I was growing up, we as kids used to say to our mother and father, like most kids do, well, we can't do this. Why can't we do this? Because look at the neighbors, they're doing that. And our parents used to always say, now their name is, and then they'd give the name, and then they'd say, but you know, you're a Lutzer, and this is a different family. Now, I don't know whether or not that helped, but it should have. And so I say to those of you today who are Christians, the world can do this, 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 but you can't because guess what? You belong to a different family. Thank you very, very much. We are to walk worthy of God. Husbands should treat their wives in a manner that is worthy of God. Teenagers should watch television programs that are worthy of God, and you can go down the list. That's the goal of it all. Alexander the Great, it is said, one of his generals became a coward and turned away in battle, and Alexander the Great found him and shook him and asked him this question. He says, what is your name? And the general says, my name is Alexander. And Alexander became enraged and shook him even harder and said, either change your character or change your name. God says to us today, you know, you are mine. You're to walk worthy of God. Either change your character or change your name. So that's the goal of discipleship, the goal of servanthood. And then the challenge, Paul says in verses 13 to 16, and I'll simply refer to them, please read them on your own. He says, you went through a lot of affliction in receiving the word of God. He says, that affliction came to you, and it was a very difficult experience because you were persecuted. Verse 14, for you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea, for you suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews who killed the Lord Jesus Christ and the prophets and who drove us out. You see, America has spoiled us. We always think to ourselves that the state and the laws should be favorable to preaching the gospel. And in America, it's been that way, though it is rapidly changing. And you and I are just going to have to face the fact that it's going to become harder to be a Christian. And sometimes it is Christians who make it hard to be represented as Christians, by the way, and not the people who are non-Christians. But it's going to be harder. And even now in your work tomorrow, your integrity should get you into some trouble. If it doesn't, I wonder if you are really honoring Jesus. Blessed are you when men persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake, said Jesus. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I have to say, as someone who has read the Word of God, preached it, loved it, I am just still amazed at how accurate the Bible is when it talks about human nature. It tells it as it is. It tells us that we are sinners, we can expect brokenness all around us, but at the same time, the wonderful thing about salvation is it gives us hope. It shows us the path that we should take. One of the things about today's society is this. We often live by our emotions, don't we? Now, emotions are a gift from God, to be sure, but they can get out of hand. How terrible it is when they are in the driver's seat rather than the passenger's seat. That's why I've written a book entitled Managing Your Emotions. It deals with various emotions. It helps us to understand them both positively and negatively. I think it's going to be a tremendous blessing to you. For a gift of any amount, we're making it available for you. And the reason is because we here at Running to Win exist to help you, and you've heard me say this before, we exist to help you make it all the way to the finish line. Meanwhile, thank you so much for joining hands with us as we pray together, work together, and minister together for the sake of the gospel.
Today, Erwin Lutzer brought more of a message on A Serving Church, the second in a series on what happens when God comes to church. Next time, why God is pleased when we serve. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. Pastor Lutzer's book on managing your emotions can transform your life. This book will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. For Pastor Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.